Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by FranVest International, Inc.
Welcome back, folks, to Food Fight Radio, and I'm your host, Claire Katz, and if you have more pictures of food on your phone than your kids, you might be a foodie. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I'm still, you're sure, a good parent or grandparent or whatever. Did that sound sincere?
Yes.
Oh, good. By the way, I have ordered some lutefisk, which we'll be eating in studio as soon as it arrives, and sharing it with another KCBQ host, David Spooner, who may or may not be any braver than our own adorable board op, Jeff, and actually eat it. At least he might not run away screaming like a little girl. You know that lye, poisoned, dried, reconstituted, and then poisoned again, gelatinous former piece of Norwegian cod we talked about last week? We're basically going to try to feed it to everyone.
I think I'm feeling sick. I don't think I'll be here that day.
It'll be your own cashew cheesecake that does it. We believe people need to expand their horizons. Hey, at least we're not feeding them blowfish. I mean, I don't want anyone's death on my hands. My karma is bad enough after the booger bean incident. Yeah. You feed a guy a booger-flavored jelly bean one time and suddenly you're the bad guy. Millennials. They just don't have the robust constitution that Americans used to have. We used to kill an animal with our cars and eat it. We used to dice up the family pig and stuff it. We used to hack the heads off our own family turkeys and celebrate this land of plenty. We used to drink the blood of the sacrificial... What?
What?
Too dark?
A little. That's...
All right. How about cheese? Can I talk about cheese?
Yeah. Cheese.
Will I offend our widow Jeffy Weffy's soft widow sensibilities with cheese? Okay. And later in the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about some cheese.
Cheese.
I'm surrounded by little girls here, people. So, President Obama has passed a law that forbids the courts from banning GMFs.
Okay.
Now, the press
GMOs?
Genetically modified food. You can modify any kind of organism. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to eat it. We've had this conversation before. I say GMFs.
But it's
Everyone else says GMOs. That doesn't make it right, okay? I'm not going to eat every genetically modified organism out there known to man.
This is America. If the majority does it one way, that's the right way.
Well, then I should be exported.
Done. I'm going to work on that.
Ship me back to Canada, people. Because what? I'm calling it GMFs. The reason I'm calling it GMFs is because it's genetically modified food. There are a bazillion genetically modified organisms. There's genetically modified organisms in my shampoo. I don't have a problem with them.
You sure? Know?
I'm pretty sure, unless they eat their way into my brain, start controlling my thoughts. But I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, genetically modified foods. Now, the press on this basically criticizes Obama, like they, you know, criticize Obama on everything. And I'm not going to get into a political discussion here, but this is food, so we're going to talk about it. For allowing this thing to squeak by, basically, he signed off on this law.
Yeah, everybody's saying, oh, we're all worried about, you know, rights, equal marriage rights, that they snuck this in there, was what I keep on hearing.
Do genetically modified organisms have equal rights now?
Well, no, but while there was a big hearing on marriage. Gay marriage and that at this time.
And they snuck in the food thing?
And so while that's going on and everybody's focused on this,
uh-huh.
That same time frame is when this bill got passed.
Okay. They snuck it by. How did they sneak it by?
Did they run it down
like a hidden corridor and have some guy secretly sign off on it?
Because it
would require presidential signature.
They had little microbes in a blowgun dart, shot it on the bill, and then right when he looked away, before he looked back to sign it, it wrote it in.
That is awesome, and I want to see that in the next Transformers movie because that is really super cool. Our legal system is obviously flawed if there is a way to sneak stuff in,
yes.
First of all. And secondly, he's being really criticized for this by allowing this thing to squeak by and keeping what would normally be considered a quote-unquote fair and logical legal system from ruling on GMFs being in our food, no matter what harm they might do to us in, say, 50 years or whatever might be discovered later about these organisms. My thinking, and I think there's a lot of people with me, if people would open up their minds a little bit, oh, we need our government to protect us. No, you don't. My thinking is this is not Obama's job. He knows that this is not his job, and this is his way of letting us know, putting the issue back into our hands where it belongs. It's not the government's job to decide what we can and cannot or should and should not eat. It's not their business. We have the FDA, whose job is lengthy, involved, nitpicky testing to make sure that the stuff we buy won't kill us. Beyond that, it's our job. Our job to make sure we're not eating stuff we don't want to be eating. If it's not Obama's job, it's certainly not the court's job. I mean, talk about a system that can easily be manipulated. The Supreme Court is probably the worst. People are expecting the Supreme Court to make a fair ruling against the FDA? That's all kinds of backwards. It's the court's job to decide whether that guy ripped off that other guy in a legal way or not.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot be entrusted with our health, nor should they be, and we would be stupid to put our health in the hands of a court? A judge?
Yeah, all the people saying how quick this court is moving, and let's say we had an outbreak. We really want our slowest branch of government
seriously
to help us out in this situation.
Ridiculous.
Is that what we want?
I don't know anyone who's been on the receiving end who hasn't been on the receiving end of a bad court decision.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. And anyone, it's not the judge that makes the decisions. It's the lawyers that matter here. It's whoever digs up the best cases that can be all twisted around to serve their purpose and prove their point, which means, like any other day in court, it's the guy with the most money that buys the best lawyers, who does the best research and has the most pull. And who do you think is going to buy the best lawyer?
The
big
guy.
Food company, right?
Yeah, of course.
That's who. Okay, so that whole case is pointless because we know already who'd win. By keeping the whole issue in the hands of the public, Obama has done us a favor.
Yeah, guys, don't forget, you vote with your money. You buy the products you want to continue. If you don't like this product,
don't buy it. They won't make it.
That's the most powerful thing you can do, and really the most powerful thing anybody in America can do.
The decision stays in your hands.
Yeah.
We'll be involved in the decision of what to eat instead of having some big food company making the decision for us and possibly removing some labeling we really need to know about. Because then we'd have really no clue what's in our food. This way, those of us who care will still be able to make the choice. This way, we only have to fight one bad guy. That's best,
yeah.
I think, right?
I fully agree. I think this is silly. I was upset when I first saw this. I bought into the hype, but the more I read on it and looked at the wording.
You mean once you talked to me?
Well, yeah, once I talked to you, I actually looked at it. I'm like, oh.
And then I said, hey, that's good. And you said, what?
Yeah, then I had to do research so I could actually argue with him.
Think
like,
about
oh,
this for a second.
She's right.
When would having a court be able to tell us what to do or ban things or fight people, get wrapped up in a whole court scenario, which takes years, is confusing, and you can manipulate the laws because
There
are so many of them, they are easily manipulated. Okay, you know what? The big food company is going to win. You're happy that the big food company has been given an opportunity to win? You're happy about that? What's wrong with you people? You know what? You're just lazy. You're just lazy. You want other people entrusted with your health so you don't have to make a decision. Read stuff. Get educated. Learn about these things. Learn about what's in it. If there's something on a label that you don't know what it is, look it up. Google it. Find out where it comes from. You know, no wonder everyone's getting sick. No wonder everyone's sick to their stomach all the time and they're blaming gluten. It's not gluten. It's not gluten. There are a million other things out there that are making you sick, and gluten is not it. It's everything that we're doing to ourselves. Stop eating garbage. I think that well. For a political session, I think that went very well.
It went pretty good.
No government should be able to outlaw big servings of soda, either. That's a whole thing.
Yes.
It's illegal for places to sell servings of soda more than 24 ounces, right?
What?
Seriously.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's like a New York thing.
Yeah.
Going on? Okay.
Well, they're the ones
is
that started the no trans fats. It's illegal to cook with trans fats now.
Stupid ruling. Absolutely stupid. Telling people they can't cook with something that hasn't been proven unsafe to cook with. You know, sure, it's not good for you. What's good for you? And here's why they did it. And we're going to talk about this more after the break. They did it because, get this, people who drink bigger servings of soda later in life put more of a strain on the health system. Oh, we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this next after this quick break. More food politics and then cheese, folks. After you're done cutting the cheese, we'll tell you what you can do with that leftover rind at the end. Of course, you can only get that with good cheese. We're not talking about you people that buy the individually wrapped singles. You people can just go ahead and change the channel now. This is Food Fight, folks. We're not paid to pander to your Kraft singles loving white bread booty. We'll be right back.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineinthenumber2night.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Charles Cole Jewelers delivers dreams, bringing the deepest wish glowingly to life. This is jewelry as unique and special as the dreams that create and desire. Charles Cole has an impressive history and extensive collection, including Hearts on Fire and gorgeous colored diamonds and gemstones. Charles Cole Jewelry will indulge even the most refined tastes. They invite you to visit their design showroom and production facility in Fashion Valley Mall and see for yourself how personal service and highest value are reasons why Charles Cole is San Diego's trusted advisor for all things jewelry. Ask them about their incredible risk-free custom work. Call Charles Cole Jewelers at 619-298-5655. That's 619-298-5655. Or online at charlescole.com. That's charlescole.com. Visit Charles Cole Jewelers in the Fashion Valley Mall for amazing jewelry that resonates, excites, and inspires. charlescole.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight, and I'm your host, Claire Katz. We were talking about GMFs.
GMOs.
Before the break, and now we're continuing that discussion. The last thing we talked about before we came to commercial is big servings of soda.
So, and we're also talking about government getting involved with our food.
Yes, if you have any,
if you have any thoughts on that and you want to weigh in, please feel free to call us at 888-344-1170.
That's 344-1170, which is uncannily. It's also the same number on the radio that you're tuned to, unless, of course, you're listening online and you've never heard of a radio because you are a millennial.
What's the... So, you mean I heart radio.
How do you spell a heart shape? I don't have a heart-shaped button on my QWERTY keyboard.
Oh. Greater than 3. I did it.
Oh, yeah. I was real proud of myself when I figured that. It was recent, actually. It was like last month. And I learned it from my 5-year-old who was using a phone to send me text messages. She had her little iPod. So I get a message on my phone from me because the iPod's registered as me.
Yeah.
I see, oh, a little message come in. Says, I love you, Mama. And there's a heart. And it's like a less than and a 3.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I'm learning things from my 5-year-old, who is, by the way, not a millennial because she's only 5. She can't qualify as a millennial. She will be the next generation, which I hope will have a better name and is probably going to be smarter than today's millennials and put all the millennials in their place.
Well, let's look at it now. We have Ys, Xs.
What are we?
Millennials.
We're X, right?
We're X.
Generation X. And then...
No, we're Generation Y. If we're right before the millennials.
Why?
Our I think.
No, why?
Why?
Why are we Generation Y? Why is Generation Y? Why?
Because they had no name for us. They didn't know what to call us.
So they called us Y?
Just like they call Generation X, Generation X. They had no real name for it. Like, you're not a baby boomer. You're Generation X.
I'm Generation Y.
Why?
Just why?
Why? Why? Why are you even here?
Why not?
Ah.
That's the ah.
No.
This is the next generation is going to be Generation Why Not? Aha. Uh-huh. We've just, okay, we solved the problem. People don't have to think about that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So big sodas, sodas more than 24 ounces. And let's face it, once you take the ice out, it's really only 12 ounces. So soda servings of more than 12 liquid ounces with a ton of ice are outlawed in New York, say.
Okay.
So now I'm thinking maybe this is because people have this really bad habit of dumping their sodas on other people on the subway.
Okay.
So people are getting completely hosed.
Hosed.
Everywhere by by these giant sodas and big gulps and things that people are getting because they're thirsty, you know. And I don't think that that's limited to regular soda. I'm thinking people now also cannot have giant servings of diet soda.
Well, you don't want, I mean, that's worse than soda with all the diet chemicals.
But there's a lot of people who don't think that it is. So it's
okay,
basically
a
calorie-free soda. What should be the problem with this? Here's why. Here's the thinking behind this ban. Is that these people, later in life, after consuming all of this soda, are going to be putting a strain on the healthcare industry. So they're telling you, okay, you're drinking this poison. You know it's bad for you. You won't stop. And 50 years from now, you are going to be very, very sick and diabetic, and it will be more expensive for us to care for you.
This is dumb. See, now look at cigarettes. Look at alcohol. Same thing. What do? They taxed it. Why make it illegal? Why not tax it and throw the money towards the healthcare system?
Why not tax a candy bar?
Exactly.
People who eat candy bars every day are going to eventually be putting a bigger strain on the healthcare system.
Tax everything except
for... Tax salt. Let's tax the nice kosher salt.
Let's do it.
Costs 98 cents in the store, right?
Now it's going to cost
$69.99 for this salt because there's a salt tax. Because you ever see the movie Demolition Man? Watch
yes.
it. We're going to talk about that.
Yeah,
this is exactly
it,
what happened. It's a bad B grade. Sorry, yeah, Sylvester Stallone. But yes, it's a bad B grade. Admit it. Bad
yeah.
B grade. But everything in this movie could possibly come true. Franchise Wars, there's only one restaurant left. It's Taco Bell. Everything they have at Taco Bell is flavorless. And the reason it's flavorless is because salt, sugar, flavorings, everything has been declared bad for you. And everything that is bad for you
is
illegal. Okay? That is the direction we are going in right now with this soda thing. Because what could be more innocuous than soda? It's a drink. Okay, if people want to drink these things and balloon up and become diabetic and fat, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to outlaw bacon? You're going to put a ban on bacon? Put a tax on bacon? Because people who have high cholesterol 50 years from now are putting a strain on the healthcare system. People who eat candy bars, same thing. People who put salt on their food, high sodium in your body, eventually you're going to be putting a strain on the health. What is wrong with these people? What's wrong with them? Do you see? You know what? We have to talk about food, right?
Yes, food.
Okay. Do you see now why I get so mad?
It's the same thing with foie.
I'm so mad every single time. It's the exact same thing with foie. I almost forgot about that. So thanks for bringing that up.
No problem.
That is the reason I was born, people, is to bring back the foie to California. That's it. We're starting a movement. We're starting movement now. We are going to bring foie gras back to California. I will tell you why. Arnie, you schmuck. All right? Telling Californians what they can and cannot eat.
That's un-American.
You grew up on protein. Well, Chris, he's un-American. He's from Austria, which is not the same thing as Germany, by the way.
Oh, what is it?
No, we now like Germany.
Okay. We don't like Austria.
We don't like Austria.
Defectors?
We don't like Austrian defectors who later become gubernatorial candidates who take food away from me. It's very specific. I don't like people like that. I don't like another human being telling me what I can and cannot eat. It's sold everywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
Banning it in California isn't doing the ducks any favors because they're still being raised. The same number of them are still being fattened up and beheaded and they're having their little guts removed. Their tasty little livers are still being processed and cut up and shipped.
Everywhere.
They're shipped to everywhere else but here.
Mm-hmm.
There is no... What? Okay, PETA, what? You think you've won a battle? Are you kidding? You've merely made it to the top of the hill. And I'm going to take you out on the way back down on the other side. We're bringing foie gras back to California. Who's the governor now? Get me his phone number. Get him on the phone. We're going to talk to this clown and get this thing reversed because it's stupid. California is one of the best places in the world to get something tasty to eat in a restaurant. And you can't walk into a restaurant and say, hey, you used to have top secret foie burger with truffle butter on top of it. Where is it? Oh, I'm sorry. A politician told me that I can't give foie gras to my wonderful customers and charge you $50 for a burger, which, by the way, was the tastiest burger I've ever had in my life. It doesn't exist anymore. I'm thinking about moving out of California. Absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, in the soda thing, people in the government telling you what you can and cannot eat, they must not be allowed to start down this dark and stormy road.
It's silly. Who gives them the right to take away our freedoms about what we want to eat, what we choose to eat, and what's out there for
eating? If we want to get chubby and diabetic and kill ourselves 30 years too early, that's our right.
We're not their kids. We're not their responsibility. They're our employees. Don't let them tell you what to do.
Yeah, let's not cloud over this fact. Those people work for us.
Yeah.
They are not elected to be put into a position where they can tell us what we can and cannot do. Period. Now, government should fear the citizens.
Yes. We should be able to take them all out of office whenever we want.
Yeah, we should. But people in this country have gotten to the point now, what, a couple hundred years into the development of the U.S.,
yeah,
where it's sort of the tables have turned. Instead of being in control of the government and being strong enough and mean and angry enough and ticked off about something enough to actually do something about it and say, hey, no, that's not right, and we're just not going to do it. We as a people think that that's stupid. You, get out of office. You're fired.
Yeah.
That's not right what you're doing. We did not elect you to do this. We pay your salary with these ridiculous taxes where a third of every dollar goes to you clowns. You're not doing anything with the money that I approve of. I am therefore either not going to do it or I am not going to pay you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
One or the other.
You can't pass the budget? Leave. You can't come back.
Yeah.
You can't get the job done? You're fired. We'll get someone who can.
What happens if you take a job as a computer technician, you go into work, and you can't do anything with a computer, and on top of that, you make things kind of worse? You get fired.
You get fired.
You don't say, oh, okay, well, if I had better funding, meaning more salary, I could do a better job because I would be able to hire an assistant who does know what he's doing. That's what the government does.
If I had enough money to hire someone who knew how to do this that you want me to do, I could get the job done.
You know, normally I don't care about politics. I really don't. But you know what? You're messing with my food.
Exactly.
And we're food people. People who are passionate about things, you got to be afraid of them.
Yes.
The government is afraid of people who are passionate about things. Everyone's afraid of PETA. Well, except me. If I was afraid of PETA, I wouldn't have walked in today wearing baby seal leather underpants. Meet me at the studio and throw paint at me. Huh? Huh?
I think they do flour now so they can't get arrested.
Oh, they throw flour.
Not flowers, but actual, you know, flour. So they won't get arrested.
White and powder.
Exactly.
Oh, come on. They're going to hit me with some cake flour?
It's not as bad for the environment.
I am not gluten intolerant, people. That will have no effect on me. Also, might be kind of fun. We could take pictures of it. Hey,
that would be great.
I'm wearing leather underpants. Guys, baby seals, endangered leather seals. No?
No.
Nobody is out there listening. No one's going to call in and tell me I'm done for. No? Throw some tomatoes at me. Come on. I dare you. We're right. Because you can't prove that we're wrong. We're right about this. We're food people. We're ticked off. People are telling us we can and cannot eat. Our opinion is the only opinion that matters. And that goes for everyone out there who feels the same way. Coming up after this quick commercial break, we'll be telling you what you can do with that leftover cheese rind. And we'll be reviewing a little hole-in-the-wall Japanese restaurant that's just awesome. That's coming up next on Food Fight Radio.
For over 7 years, Modern Dentistry, the office of Dr. Amir Majavar and his friendly professional team members, have been providing quality and affordable care to San Diegans all over the county, specializing in state-of-the-art cosmetic and family dentistry, including children ages 3 and up, porcelain crowns, veneers and lumineers, Invisalign, teeth whitening, and metal-free restorations. Rest assured the care you'll receive will be with the utmost precision and quality, and provided in a caring, nurturing, and virtually pain-free environment. Having completed a residency in cosmetic dentistry and over 200 successful Invisalign cases, Dr. Majavar is highly trained to create a beautiful smile just for you. Their office is designed with comfortable chairs, ceiling-mounted TVs, and noise-canceling headphones. Call Modern Dentistry and see what a difference a healthy, beautiful smile can make in your life. Go to sdmoderndentistry.com or call 858-259-4765. 858-259-4765.
In this corner, authentic New York style pizza from Knockout Pizza Miramesa, hand tossed with the freshest ingredients. And in that corner, the other guys. And the winner by a knockout. KnockoutPizzaMiramesa.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Do you want to save money on your electric bill? PowerSavingsToday.com has amazing small plug-in units you strategically place in your home. These amazing units automatically capture unused electricity and recycle it for your benefit. Amazing technology! Visit PowerSavingsToday.com to learn how you can immediately begin saving money by recycling unused electricity back into your home. PowerSavingsToday.com. That's PowerSavingsToday.com.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. And that was an awesome dance that Marcus was doing. He was doing this little...
little 50s, one hand on your hip, one finger in the air.
Wiggle one finger in the air. Is he looking like Aretha Franklin?
Sorry.
Is Aretha Franklin in the Blues Brothers? Remember? You better think. Huh? That's who you remind me of.
Oh, okay.
A big black woman.
Oh,
she has style, though. Maybe you should try a new dance. This Food Fight Radio, normally when you do a nice cheese plate, you've got your hard cheese, the runny cheese, the stinky cheese you were so proud of, and that bland one you had to get for your squeamish brother. You have all these rinds left over, and most people would normally just throw them in the trash, right?
Yes.
Well, stop it. Those things are all kinds of useful. To brie or not to brie? That's the question we're asking, you people right now. So uses for leftover cheese rinds. Normally, people only, if they do save rinds, which they generally don't, they only save the Parmesan or the Pecorino.
Yeah, those are the tougher ones.
Yeah, the tougher ones, and the rinds don't look so scary.
Yes.
So they save them, and then what do people do with those? They throw it in the freezer for a while, and then whenever they're making a soup or a stew or a sauce or even a tomato-y sauce or an Alfredo sauce, once you're done with it and it's on a simmer, you take that frozen cheese rind and you throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is by the time you're ready to serve it, you can either remove the remaining rind that hasn't dissolved, or you can use your spoon to break it up into little chewy bits. So it's fun.
Yeah, it's fine. It gives it a nice, really thick flavor.
If you're not ready to use a rind right away, it can be stored indefinitely in the freezer. You do not ever have to throw these things away.
No.
Never. It's preserved. It's cheese. Cheese is preserved milk.
Yes.
It's the preservation stuff has already been done to it. You don't have to worry about it. You can also save mushroom stems in the freezer to use later, but that's fodder for another show. You don't have to make your soup from scratch either. You can get a canned soup.
Yeah, or save yourself some time.
Get the low-sodium kinds because they're lower in salt. That's always nice. You can always add more salt later. You know, use
and
healthy
cheese rinds have
slot.
Lots of salt in them. So, yeah, that works.
Unless they make salt illegal. Everything will be saltless.
We won't have any more cheese.
Be a saltless, flavorless. Right. Cheese is full of salt.
Yeah, and you need it to help make salt. Yeah,
I don't think these people realize what they're dealing with. The end result is they're going to have to try to make cheese illegal. You know what? I say we storm the country. Angry people. Storm. It's going to be a state of anarchy. People are going to get ticked off about their food, you know, because people keep trying to tell us what not to eat.
That's true. You know what? I'll let some people storm the country. I'll start a black market.
Ooh, that's good thinking. Let's start stocking up now on shotguns and canned goods. But we're not anarchists, people. We're just food people.
Yeah, we just want our food.
We are the normal ones. That's the real problem, is that there are anarchists out there that do that sort of thing, and it has nothing to do with food. I just want my duck liver back.
Yeah.
How pathetic is that? Anyway, the rind of a cheese will taste like a more bitter version of that cheese. If you don't like at all the flavor of the rind, you will probably not like it in your soup. But it's still worth a try. And a lot of times people don't even eat the rind. They don't even taste it. So a little bit of a guide to figuring out what the rind of a cheese is going to be tasting like. The true essence of a cheese lives in its rind.
Mm-hmm.
The cheese in the middle of the cheese is the mildest, sweetest, tastiest, most delectable version of itself. The rind is what happens when it gets exposed to air, dark, humidity, possibly mold. Some mold gets
mold.
In there.
Mold.
So the harder cheeses, like the Pecorino or the Parmigiano, their rinds don't look bad.
No, they just look like dense versions of the cheese,
which are too hard to chew.
Oh yeah,
you wouldn't want to chew this stuff. And then there's other, like, goat cheeses where the outside rind basically looks like the inside of the cheese, except it has formed a skin,
mm-hmm.
as if it were slowly turning into a human skin.
A human.
Which, it's still white, like Epoisson or any kind of goat cheese. It's sometimes really runny on the inside. That has spent time in a cave.
Yeah.
And it's developed a weird little harder exterior. It's going to be pungent, bitter, astringent, possibly a little bit ammonia flavored. Now, if you don't like how that rind tastes, if you think it tastes like poison, you are not going to want to save that, put it in the freezer,
exactly,
and eventually add it to your soup. You're going to want to throw that one in the trash.
Yeah, don't be saving brie rinds. Most of them, the moldy on the outside.
It looks like a weird puffy little pillow of mold.
Yes.
Which is soft and fun to touch. But, I generally don't want to eat much of it.
Yeah. You're not going to eat a just piece of rind. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay when you have a little bit of rind mixed in there. When you take a nice hunk of brie, you shove it in your mouth. It's mostly creamy brie that's on the inside. A little bit of rind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even like eating the rind on both sides of the slice that I cut. So when I do cut the cheese,
mm-hmm.
I make sure to remove most of the rind.
Most of the rind.
And I do like the rind. I like it in small bits.
Yeah.
That's not a flavor I want in my soup.
No, it's really sharp. Exactly.
Fresh cheeses have no rind.
No.
It's only aged cheeses. So if you're only serving fresh cheeses, get out.
You have no idea what we're talking
about.
Yeah,
you don't have any clue. So a rind of the cheese? What's the rind? Yeah, millennials. I don't know what she's talking
what
about. Where are the rinds on these individual wrapped Velveeta singles?
What is it called? Oh, bluebells?
Yeah, those little cute ones?
Yeah, those little red things, that's the rind for any of you who've never had a
cheese.
Yeah,
it's made out of wax.
Well, that's...
Don't eat that. That's a rind that's artificial. It's made out of not cheese.
Yeah, but
don't eat that part.
If that's the closest thing you
don't throw
to a rind.
Ball of red wax into your soup. What are you, stupid?
They were going to do it and it was going to be so funny.
Actually, that was... I threw the rind of our little bluebell thingies in there. We're just going to be giggling. We won't even answer you. We're just going to giggle and then we're going to hang up. Bloomy rinds, like brie or camembert, it's fluffy. It's, it's made out of mold.
It's made out of mold.
Yeah, it's called bloomy.
Mm.
Because mold and fungus blooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Washed rinds, like what you might find on a Taleggio or a Munster, kind of pinkish, orangish, reddish. They have kind of a weird granular texture from any residual salt crystals that have been left over from brine washing. They taste bitter, but it does depend on the cheese. So bite it. Taste it. See if it's any good. If you like it at all, save it. Throw it in your soup. Now, natural rinded cheeses, they have weird, cracky rinds that are brownish. They resemble a pile of dirt stuck to the rind of a cantaloupe, for lack of a better description. They're not too tasty.
No.
They're crust-like. It looks like it has a brown, dirty crust. You are not going to enjoy the flavor of a brown, dirty crust. Hard cheeses, super hard cheeses, like super hard cave-aged mountain cheddar. If you get a wheel of this stuff and not just a handy little square from something that's been carved out of the middle of this thing, you are going to get something that looks like the side of a mountain in Arizona. That's what the rind of this cheese looks like. It's very hard, and it protects the cheese on the inside like stucco. If you enjoy the flavor of mountainy, dirty stucco, go ahead. It acts as a barrier to promote the aging potential, so it's there only to make the interior cheese taste better, not too tasty. Again, this is where, you know, you'll find different Goudas and cave-aged Manchegos, yeah, and cloth-bound cheddars and other obviously non-edible rinded cheeses. Don't eat these. If it looks like something that might poison you or have some weird microorganism in it,
maybe you should avoid it.
Don't eat the rind of that one.
No.
Eat the tasty stuff on the inside. Throw the rind away or serve it to someone you don't like. Blue cheese. They vary. There's a lot of different kinds. A lot of people really love them. So you're going to wind up with a blue cheese on your plate. I always do. Some of them are wrapped up in foil, some in plastic. Some are left to develop a rind. Some are wrapped in leaves. Don't eat those leaves.
No.
Like a Cabrales. If the rind looks edible, taste it.
Taste it.
It's okay to taste it. It's not going to make you sick. Don't eat the leaves if it's wrapped in leaves. The more expensive kind, they're wrapped in leaves. Don't eat those.
No.
It's just there to protect the cheese from getting stuck on things.
It's not like fig leaves or something yummy?
No.
No.
No, no grape leaves there. Oh. No, not interesting.
That would be delicious.
That would be bad. Yuck. I want the cheese. I don't want the thing that's wrapped in the cheese to protect it from sticking to the wall of the cheese cave.
Back there to the cheese cave. It. Sorry.
That would be Cheese Man.
Cheese Man.
Yeah. Cheese Man and Deligio. I don't
cheese
know.
Man.
If we're going to be doing that, we got to spend some time thinking about real names and inventing capes. And I need an insignia.
There we go.
You know, on my chest. It's going to be Cheese Girl.
Cheese Girl.
Da, 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 da. My superpower is cutting cheese. Wait, that doesn't sound right. That sounds terrible. I don't want to do that.
And then they'll do that.
That sounds like a really bad idea. You're just full of nothing but bad ideas today.
I think cheese.
I don't know what happened.
Idea.
Cashew raw vegan cheesecake, which I didn't even get to taste, and Cheese Girl. Great.
You made up Cheese Girl.
Well, you know what? You started it. So blue cheese. If it has a rind, taste the rind. If you hate the rind,
don't
throw away
anything.
The rind.
Yes.
Okay. If you do like it, throw it in some sauces, some soups, and again, it does not have to be something that you make. It can be something where you go, you see the low-sodium cans of soup, for example, in the store. You're going to see a butternut squash soup. Sounds good, right? It's not very good by itself. Mm-mm. And then another can of low-sodium tomato basil bisque. Buy them both. Throw them in a pot together.
Mm-hmm.
Very tasty.
Or, you know, we were talking earlier about crock-pot dishes. If you know the dish or the meat, it would be good with a little parm in there. Throw your rind in the crock pot and let it cook in there, too.
Brilliant idea. Also, what you can do is just take any kind of meat, put it in there, get a can of soup, open it up, dump it in there, into the crock pot. A couple of different kinds. Let's take like some sort of a clam chowder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put some sort of like fish in there, and it would be basically a big fishy mess.
A big fishy mess.
Which I wouldn't necessarily want to eat, but some of you might.
Some of you,
Some of you like Hamburger Helper. So this will be a step up. Big fishy mess
big
is
fishy
definitely
mess.
A step up.
Cream
from
of broccoli,
Hamburger
and
Helper.
Cream of cheddar, and there you go.
Yeah, put that in there. You can also put dips. Like if there's a dip, like you go to the chip and dip section.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a dumb person.
No.
It was also called a dip. But I mean the dip that you put chips in, right? You got salsas, you've got quesos, you've got bean dips, you've got all these great things like hummuses and ranch dressings and things. You can use those in your crock pot.
Yeah.
So if you have leftover, if you have a jar of salsa that's going to be going bad kind of soon, throw that in there.
Yeah, of course. It's a great, great dish.
Chicken pieces, throw it in there. Throw in some spices, some herbs, some cilantro, some celery tops, chopped
onion.
When it's
done, throw some chips in there and you
got tortillas.
Garlic
in there. Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you don't have to know what the heck you're doing.
No.
You don't. You throw things in there.
Cooking is just playing with your food.
It slow cooks them into oblivion, you know, so you don't have to worry about what it is. When we come back, we're going to be reviewing the cutest little hole in the wall that ever served legal sushi. It's recently been renovated, so it's lost that mildew smell and a little bit of its charm along with it. But I sort of like that thing. Still, it's a darn good place to get a bite. That's coming up right after this.
When our kids started school,
I could see they needed an extra challenge. We tried the supplement at home, but we were exhausted and they were bored.
Then we discovered Renaissance Village Academy, located at 9988 Hybert Street in Scripps Ranch. RVA is a school for gifted, profoundly gifted, and or highly motivated students in kindergarten through 8th grade. The kids are so excited to go to school now, and they're definitely challenged.
Each week includes karate, drama, music, arts, education, gardening, and other valuable life skills.
So we're confident that they're being well prepared for success.
RVA is unlike any school you've ever seen. I'm so glad we found Renaissance Village Academy.
It's the school I wish I had gone to.
I know, right? Go to rva.us.com to find out more about how your child can rediscover the joy of learning. Renaissance Village Academy, personalized
and don't forget motivating
education for the gifted.
Go to rva.us.com.
Trying to run or start a business, but the costs and overhead are keeping you from your dream? Lower your costs and reduce your footprint with a virtual office with FlexOffice. You'll have a real business address for your mail, business cards, and website. All of the amenities are provided for you. You and your clients can meet in a professional office building. You'll have access to a fully equipped conference room and classroom with internet and a 42-inch TV monitor for presentations or training. Conveniently located in Sorrento Mesa with access to the 805 and 15. Get your dreams back on track with a professional virtual office today for only $79 per month. It's the most flexible and cost-effective way to get what you need to grow your business, and you only pay for what you use. Call 858-200-7591 or visit us online at flexofficesuites.net. flexofficesuites.net.
Have you looked at your grocery bill lately? You've probably noticed that good food is expensive. And between planning, shopping, cooking, and cleaning up, it's also time-consuming. And probably one of the least rewarding daily chores you have. Hey, here's an idea. Let Dine-In Tonight simplify your life, one meal at a time. They hand-deliver hot, delicious, gourmet meals right to your door at dinner time. A few of their 100 gourmet recipes include maple-glazed baby back ribs. Oh, hello. How about lemon chicken piccata, roast beef with Dijon sauce, roasted red snapper, Havarti chicken with portobello mushrooms? Choose 3 or 5 nights per week for just $10 per entree with no delivery fee. Get a free week of meals delivered by using promotion code KCBQ. Sign up online at dineintonight.com. That's dineintonight.com or call 888-64-MEALS. That's 888-64-MEALS.
Welcome back to Food Fight Radio, folks. So, Yoshino is a little brick restaurant in a bland-looking building that you'd never spot if you weren't looking for it. And they've had a dirty banner up for years advertising their sushi, so at first glance, it's a bit scary. That is, if you're easily scared by food. I love these kinds of places. They usually have the best food. Now, Yoshino has been around for more than 20 years, and they've changed hands a few times. I first ate there 20 years ago. Great steak teriyaki, fair sushi, and the tastiest salad dressing known to man, which I asked for more on the side and doused my rice with it. Best rice ever, seriously. They would not tell me the recipe then. They will not tell me the recipe now. A few years go by, and one day I noticed that my gorgeous, tender, rare steak teriyaki has mysteriously changed texture, consistency, and taste, and apparently that was because they stopped using cow. Naturally, we did not go back for some time. Feeling brave, though, last summer we drove by, figuring that by now they surely would have discontinued their use of random ruminant, and we saw the posted inevitable fate of all donkey chefs, a closed sign. So sad. I missed them, donkey meat and all. They were an institution of unadorned miso soup broth and inattentive waitresses. Fortunately, one Sunday afternoon, inspired by the unaccommodating restaurants by the beach that won't serve you dinner at 4:45 p.m., we called our old standby, Yoshino, and huzzah, they're back. So we, and probably every disappointed senior looking for an early bird special, hurried in for the grand reopening. Oh, glory be. Still a hole in the wall. Thank goodness. I hate it when people mess with imperfection. We sit down to a satisfying bowl of extremely predictable miso soup, accompanied by some fair sushi, and steak teriyaki that has clearly been made with a very happy cow. This is how I had remembered it from 20 years ago. Like all great restaurants, it had become a part of my history. I order extra salad dressing and blanket my sticky rice with it, again, the tastiest rice known to man, and still, for all my bribery, cannot get the sauce recipe out of them. Oh well, one more reason to come back. You can see photos of our recent trip to Yoshino on our website at www.foodfightradio.com. And now I have been very opinionated, very riled up, and seriously, folks, it is time for clarification.
And now for your moment of clarification.
A while back, my husband and I were in the mood for a nice steak. If you've ever heard this show before, this will come as no surprise to you. And there happened to be a nice-looking steak place that we'd driven by a dozen times, but for some reason, never visited. Feeling adventurous and rather peckish, we found a good parking spot in a spacious lot. So far, so good. Once inside, we discover a nice, modern-looking place, which was different. A change of pace from the more traditional, darkly lit, heavy wood steak places we're used to. The menu looks classic and moderately priced, and like I said, we were peckish, and we had already parked the car, so we felt committed to the place. As we are led to our table by the hostess in the tight pants, I begin to feel something a bit out of place. We walk past a big grilling station in the middle of the room. Is this like one of those Japanese teppanyaki grill places where the cook flips knives and food and shrimp over your head and sets himself on fire right in front of you? It didn't look Japanese in here. But wait, why are people standing around the grill with tongs? Where's the cook? What kind of restaurant is this? Hey, what's this? I ask, pointing to the barbecuers. The hostess clarifies. Oh, you cook your own steaks here. I notice several health code violations. That's clever, I say to her, but that's okay. We'll have the food made by your cooks. Oh no, she says, this is how it works. You can choose your cut of meat, and we'll bring it out for you to grill right here. Well, how much more is it to get you guys to cook it? We don't do that. I can't really remember what I may have mumbled as we left, but I'm thinking it wasn't completely complimentary, and I get that, as a chef, I'm certainly capable of grilling my own steak, but that's not why we left the house that day. That's not why we sat in traffic and parked. That's not why we paid for gas. And I can't imagine that was what all those poor, sweaty tong holders had in mind when they let themselves be conned into burning their own meat for $27. Meat which they couldn't send back when they realized there's a reason they wear a clip-on tie for a living. What, I wonder, could be the thinking behind letting the least qualified people prepare the most important part of the meal when the experienced and probably well-paid cooks in the back are tasked with the side dish? And what kind of bored, money-burning suit would want to pay to cook his own meal? And if you have to cook your own food, shouldn't it be cheaper? A steak is worth $27 only when a business with overhead makes an investment into its preparation by hiring skilled staff to prepare it. Those dumb, tong-wielding patsies don't look skilled. They look nervous, and rightly so. One wrong flip, one high-leaping flame, and they ruin the meat and lose their eyebrows. You may be thinking to yourself, that's not too crazy. Paying to cook your own food, that's not that ridiculous. Let me then expand in a way that you can relate to. Would you pay $100 to detail your own car? How about $50 to mow your own lawn? How does paying $45 to wash your own dog sound? Starting to get angry? I know I am. That's right. When you do the work yourself, things should be cheaper. I can make my own steak at home for a lot less, and I can make a better martini. And I can be rude to myself. I don't need a sleazy-looking waitress for that. Next, there will be a spa where you can massage yourself for $90, or a cobbler where you can pay to polish your own shoes, or a golf course where you pay a ton of money to carry your own clubs around. Wait, okay. You just got to admit that golf is stupid. I'm pretty sure that this cook-your-own-steak thing started as a big joke and was just a bunch of chefs feeling unappreciated, and they took things a bit too far. They never expected people to actually fall for it. They just wanted to be loved. But stupid is as stupid does, and this, my friends, is stupid. Of course, a little bell may go off when the chef comes out and asks you how everything tastes, and you say, oh, it's fine. Hey, wait a sec, I made this. And he just starts laughing his head off. Worst part is, they'll still expect a tip. Tune in Food Fight Radio for next week, where it's going to be the All Red Bull Show.
Oh, yeah.
In case you were wondering, it's going to be us, a mic, and a case of Red Bull. And when we wind up in Vegas with no memory, you folks will have some idea why. Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Red Bull. Also, good mood foods, how we can start bringing the foie back to California. And Dave the Vitamin Guy is going to be in studio on burning fat with only vitamins. Yes, it can be done.
I'm not sharing my Red Bull with him.
That's okay. Have you seen that guy? He does not need to be any more amped up than he
That's already true.
I mean, he just gets excited about stuff, and he's going to start talking conspiracy theories, and then it's just going to be a whole weird fest in here. And that's not what we're about.
I love that guy.
Red Bull is like a food.
Yes.
Or at least it's a beverage.
It's a condiment now, I think.
Is it a condiment?
Well, they
can you
mix
can
it.
You cook with it? Can you turn it into Red Bull sauce? Because that's
yeah,
what
actually, I've seen people reduce it. And pour it over chicken.
We are going to get a Red
rice.
Bull reduction, folks. We're going to put it on some food. We're going to feed it to Jeff. And we're going to see what happens if he starts, like, pushing buttons and adding sound effects in, like, weird sort of ways. It's, why are you playing? Why are you honking horns? Why? We're talking about cheese and chicken. What does that have to do with it? And he's over there kind of bouncing around. That'll be our fault. Yep. The secret ingredient is Red Bull. Just FYI. We also are going to have Matt Medish, independent filmmaker, a wonderful guy who's going to be talking about his new movie, psychological thriller that'll scare the popcorn and soda out of you. But if you've roasted some nice buttery cashews with some ground rosemary and have it with that popcorn, that might actually be pretty tasty.
Yeah.
You're going to want to keep that down. That's all next week on Food Fight Radio. This is Claire Katz reminding you that some milk has to sour in order to get good pancakes.
Food Fight Radio on KCBQ is sponsored by Fran Vest International, Inc.